from KQED.
This is the California Report. Good morning. I'm Saul Gonzalez in Los Angeles. We're getting reports of a school shooting in the community of Santa Clarita here in Southern California. Police and paramedics arrived at Saugus High School after a 911 caller reported gunshots at about 7:40 this morning. Six people, according to the Associated Press, have been wounded. No word about fatalities. Other schools in the vicinity have been placed on lockdown. L.A. County Sheriff's Department deputies are searching the area for a male suspect in black clothing who was seen at the school. We'll bring you more details as they come. In other news, criminal justice reformers have been asking, at what age should someone be treated as an adult versus a minor in the court system? Right now, you're considered a juvenile offender until you turn 18. But one law enforcement group wants to push that age up. KQED politics correspondent Marisa Lagos has more.
Is there a big difference between the brain of a 17-year-old and a 19-year-old? California's probation chiefs don't think so, and they want to change state law to reflect what years of research has proven. Here's Karen Pank, executive director of the association that represents California's 58 probation chiefs, with a bold proposal.
Raise the age of juvenile jurisdiction to 19.
That means young people accused of a crime any time before their 20th birthday would stay in the juvenile system, and their records would be sealed. But Pank says the probation chiefs want to go even further.
You know, we know we can't just do that. We really want to build upon, again, all of the success that we've had. So we want to focus on, you know, the rehabilitation part of the system.
That means also setting limits on how long juveniles can be locked up around probation, improving individual treatment plans for teenagers, and expanding restorative justice practices. The move comes as juvenile lockups across the state sit largely empty after two decades of plummeting youth crime rates. That makes people like Daniel McClare of the Center on Juvenile and Criminal Justice skeptical about the motives of the probation chiefs.
What I see here is a strategy that's being employed by the chief probation officers to fill their juvenile halls up at a time when they're in unprecedented decline.
Pank pushed back, noting that probation departments have overseen the sharp decline in detention rates and juvenile arrest rates, and that several other states are considering similar reforms.
I think there's history of success that we should be looking at trying to model.
The probation chiefs are hoping to turn these proposals into legislation in the coming months, ahead of the 2020 legislative session in Sacramento. For the California Report, I'm Marisa Lagos.
There's a new LA Times poll out this morning that shows 95% of voters in Los Angeles think homelessness is LA's most serious problem. But as Los Angeles and other California cities struggle to find ways to house the homeless, sometimes real, tangible progress is made. That's the sound of a new emergency homeless shelter opening in L.A.'s Watts neighborhood yesterday. 100 people will soon move in and get access to beds, storage space, showers, and laundry facilities for up to 90 days as social workers try to help them find more permanent housing. The project is part of L.A.'s A Bridge Home Initiative, an effort to place emergency homeless shelters across the city. Similar programs are also underway in San Diego and San Francisco. At the opening of the Watts shelter, L.A. Mayor Eric Garcetti talked about what Los Angeles and other cities need to do more.
We know every person that will come into one of these beds is a real person, a living, breathing Angeleno who just needs a little bit of hope. And today is a great day because we know 100 beds will be filled. Those beds will be refilled and refilled until we end this.
Even as you open these up at a quicker pace, what are the obstacles that you can acknowledge still exist?
You know, the biggest obstacles in a crowded city are just finding the land and keeping the funding coming. Taxpayers here have stepped up not just once, but twice to have permanent housing and also to have services. But we need the state to step up even more, and we need the feds to come forward as well. This isn't just a problem in LA. With a $21 billion surplus at the state level, it's wonderful to see those first dollars flowing from the state. But if we want to see this accelerated, we need to double at least what we are doing here. This is the model, and the model works. Now the question is, will we have the determination, the will, to fund this all the way through?
And your message to Gavin Newsom and state legislators would be what?
Thank you, thank you, thank you for stepping up, for increasing that by 50%, but it's still a third of what we need. We hope that this coming year we can find a permanent source of housing dollars for affordable housing and for that emergency relief today to get people off the streets. Once we get people into beds, there's hope we can get them into permanent housing, but without that, it's very tough.
That was Los Angeles Mayor Eric Garcetti. Another big challenge when it comes to creating homeless housing, pushback from residents who don't want the projects in their neighborhoods. For instance, in San Francisco, plans to put a homeless shelter near the Embarcadero has prompted a lawsuit from neighbors who say it'll create crime and blight. But Joe Buscaino, the LA City Councilman who represents Watts, says even if you have a consensus about the need for a shelter, it takes too long to open these critical facilities. The one in Watts, for example, required something like 300 community meetings.
I've been frustrated, but we're here.
Why are you frustrated?
Well, because it takes too damn long. And I understand the system, the bureaucracy that it takes. I mean, we don't live in China here. And there's rules and regs that need to be followed on. There's codes that need to be met.
So 17 months to open up an emergency shelter.
A temporary emergency shelter
people are supposed to be in for about 90 days.
What part of emergency are we missing here? As local leaders, we have to lead. You know, oftentimes we can't wait for Sacramento or DC to move on these issues. The city of Los Angeles cannot solve this homeless issue alone.
Again, that was LA City Councilman Joe Buscaino. Let's turn from homelessness to fires and utilities. Southern California Edison has agreed to pay $360 million to local governments over two wildfires sparked by the utility's equipment. The money will go toward reimbursing cities and counties for costs not covered by FEMA, including damaged roads and infrastructure and firefighting. Reporter Larry Buell has more.
Local governments in Southern California sued SoCal Edison over damages from the deadly Thomas and Woolsey fires. Last year's Woolsey fire started near Los Angeles and quickly spread to the ocean. The Thomas fire started in Ventura County in 2017. Investigators said it was sparked by utility wires slapping together in a windstorm. That fire later caused a mudslide in Montecito. The $360 million will be split among five cities in Santa Barbara, Ventura, and Los Angeles counties.
We feel it's a fair settlement.
Felicia Lieberman is assistant city attorney for the city of Thousand Oaks. She said the fire cost the city a lot of money.
Staff time to respond to the emergency effort, structural damage, damage with respect to ecological resources and land.
The payout doesn't include private lawsuits over deaths or homes destroyed. Edison did not admit wrongdoing or liability in the settlement. For the California Report, I'm Larry Buell in Los Angeles.
Support for the California Report comes from Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose Fund for Strategic Innovation supports transformative ideas that benefit humanity while protecting the natural world, recognizing through science the interdependence of all living systems. Energy Upgrade California, reminding Californians to use less energy every day. Keep it golden at energyupgradecalifornia.org. And Bridge Bank, a division of Western Alliance Bank, offering flexible financial solutions to entrepreneurs and to the technology and life science communities. Bridge Bank, be bold, venture wisely.
As public hearings about President Trump's impeachment begin in Congress, Americans' already strong feelings about the president and whether to remove him from office have grown even more intense. In Los Angeles, some people air their views at a place with a connection to Trump, Hollywood Boulevard's Walk of Fame, where the president has a star on the sidewalk. I went to it yesterday and met two people with very different views about the president.
I don't really think much about him. I think he's not that good for America. I feel like we could use a better person up in office. I just don't think he's doing a super quality job of being president. And
you just put a sticker on his star on the Walk of Fame.
Yes, I did.
What is it and
this
why?
This is the death metal band Thraw from Phoenix, Arizona.
I thought it was a political message of some sort.
Thraw against Trump, you know what I mean? Death metal against Trump. I guess that's my political stance.
Well, I don't like it. That's not nice.
Oh, to put the sticker on like that?
Yeah.
What do you think about him and this impeachment that's going on?
Well, I think because, you know, he is already president. So what's the problem? I mean, even like it or not, the people, even if the people like it or not, he's already the president. Side. What are you going to do?
And finally, sometimes we like to share a bit about our sister show, The California Report Magazine. Our colleagues there are hosting a live event next Thursday in San Francisco. It's called Dreaming in the Golden State. And there'll be dance performances, live music, and storytelling.
We are Ocho Ojos. Tonight, it's called El Baile Tranquis. Are y'all feeling tranquis? A huevo.
That's from an audio story about a cumbia band straight out of the Coachella Valley called Ocho Ojos. You can get free tickets to next Thursday's California Report Magazine live show on the events page of our website, kqed.org. And that's the California Report for Thursday, November 14th, a production of KQED Public Radio. Our engineers are Katie McMurrin, Danny Bringer, Jacob Winnick, with additional engineering help from Seal Muller. The show is produced by Alice Wolfley, Kathleen Quillian, and Raquel Maria Dillon. Our managing editor is Vinnie Tong. Ethan Lindsay is our executive editor. Holly Kernan is our chief content officer. I'm Saul Gonzalez. Have a great day.